Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Vinci to Vampire, Descartes Editeur to White Wolf. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is April 16th, 2010. You know, Rhett, I really thought about doing Vampire the Collectible Card Game from Wizards instead of Vampire from White Wolf, because next week we have W to start the show, and I wanted to use Werewolf. And so I think we might still use Werewolf, but we're going to have White Wolf 2 weeks in a row on that.
You know, W is a tough letter for us in the war game part of the industry.
Wagram? Isn't there a Napoleonic...
Wagram?
Yeah, sure. There we go. Maybe we'll do that.
And Wagner, too. But, you know, people still like Wagner.
All right, funny guy. So, anyways, today's April 16th. Hopefully, you've all gotten your taxes turned in already. I know Rhett and I have, because we're very good citizens.
Absolutely. Have my taxes done a while ago.
I've already gotten my return from the state and the federal government. I am a very happy man.
I was going to say, I've seen mine back so far from the Fed, but living where I do, I'm not sure how long it'll take for my state to get back to me.
You know, if Rod Blagojevich has his way, you'll probably have to pay him $5 to get it.
It would be no problem. I would love to pay Rob Blagojevich about $5 to get my taxes back, as long as he was spending time with an orange suit on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So those of you not from Illinois, Blago, Illinois, corrupt. So anyways, on that note, let's move into the news. And speaking of corrupt, you know, it wouldn't be a week goes by without a story about Upper Deck. At some point, I'm going to get a libelous lawsuit from those guys. But anyways, Upper Deck lost their football license this week. The litany of woes continues. Do we need to say anything more about that, Rhett?
I think that pretty much covers it. You know, we could just mention it's Upper Deck and what they're losing this week.
Yeah, like I said, we need to have theme music. Nobody sent anything in, though. So, again, we don't have theme music. But, yeah, Upper Deck replacing our Toys R Us news theme music.
At least there's no court involved in this one.
No. But you know, I do think it's emblematic. The game industry is having a really good year. In fact, I just saw another article recently on that, and it's you can still run a business into the ground even in good times. So, moving on, our other troubled company news. This slightly scatological headline from BoardGameNews.com, Wildfire Reclaims Its Poo from Catalyst. And
it's just, you know, kind of hard to jump around on that one.
Next story. Yeah. No. long story short, let me just read some of the story from BoardGameNews. As you guys know, Catalyst Game Labs is in the process of dealing with some financial issues. And to that end, it is having issues with Wildfire and Posthuman Studios. Now, Wildfire developed the card games for them, including actually Cthulhu Tech and Pooh the card game were from Wildfire. And Eclipse Phase was from Posthuman Studios. So both of those titles are getting spun out back to the respective owners. And according to the story here, it looks like what they did was to resolve the debt issue, because apparently Catalyst wasn't able to pay Wildfire or Posthuman. What they've done is they've basically transferred ownership of the inventory.
Yeah, it's not really unexpected given the woes that Catalyst is currently in. It'd be interesting to see how well they do in the coming year. And, you know, I still think that Wildfire, this will be Wildfire's going to, I'm sure, reappear with yet a third group to do their publishing, having originally been published by Mongoose. Mm-hmm. You know, products are really strong. Cthulhu Tech has always been strong. Pooh has done really well.
Well, Pooh, as we mentioned, I think is up for an Origins Award.
Yeah, it's up for an Origins Award. And
it did sell.
So is Eclipse Phase, you know.
That's right.
Which is kind of interesting, should they win. You know.
Yeah, well, it's still going to be Eclipse Phase, right, that wins the peg. So, but I, you know what I thought was interesting? In fact, I was talking a little bit with Larry Rosnay over at Mayfair Games and their sponsorship of Origins. Last year, Catalyst was a huge sponsor of the Origins convention. And yeah. that's not going to happen this year. So there are some ripple effects when, you know, for instance, in fact, I also learned from Larry, Upper Deck, speaking of, you know, Upper Deck, is not, they're not going to have their gigantic booth at Gen Con this year.
You know, I'm really not surprised on any of this. At least in the case of Catalyst, I don't really think that that was going to be something they did this year as well, simply because last year was a dual anniversary, a 25th anniversary Battletech, 20th anniversary Shadowrun. And, you know, I know they were really stepping up their look for that year. From what I understand, though, they still have the, you know, the entry booth at Gen Con. So, you know, their plan is to continue to have a major presence at Gen Con. You know, we'll see. This is, right. Like I say, this is a company that's struggling right now. But more about that later.
Right, right. And again, what I guess I bring it up only to point out that there are ripple effects spreading outward from some of these major companies having issues. Now, I believe Adrian from Gen Con is still very happy with the way Gen Con's shaping up this year. And it sounds like, from what I've seen online, no shortage of major exhibitors. I believe Mayfair has actually expanded their presence in the back of the hall this year for Gen Con. But again, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, it's a small industry. So when something happens, it ripples outward.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on. Again, hey, by the way, best of luck to both Posthuman, Wildfire, and Catalyst. Oh, both. To all three.
All three, yes.
Yeah, Catalyst. Yeah, don't leave them out. But they're really strong products, and I wish them all the best of luck on that. I'm sure they're going to find a way to get into distribution. So look for news on that soon. And moving on. By the way, I'd like to say moving on to the good news.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of that recently.
I know. We keep talking about how strong the market is, and then all the news has just been this litany of woes. Poof Slinky buys Kadesco. And Poof Slinky has acquired substantially all the assets, of game maker Kadeco for an undisclosed sum. Kadeco is Chicago-based. They're a division of Rapid Displays, who makes displays and fixtures for in-store marketing, so not necessarily a good fit for them. Poof Slinky, based here in Michigan, as you might guess from the name, makes Slinky. And so this is kind of a good thing for them. Kadeco, I'll be honest, Kadeco's titles, I took a look at them. They're a little weak. But it gives Poof Slinky an in into the board game market. So look for that to expand a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Mattel's been expanding into this. Obviously, Hasbro's the big monster in the league there. You know, I guess this is just their way of trying to expand themselves to give themselves a better footprint in, you know, in all the mass chains. You know, obviously Poof and Slinky, you know, have been around for an eternity.
Yeah. The hard to go wrong with foam balls and spring toys.
That's right.
So, well, I think what the Kadeco sale really comes is I'm sure Rapid Display has been running into issues with the weakened retail market. Now, the weak retail market is actually starting to show some signs of life. But by the same token, wouldn't want to be the guy selling fixtures for in-store marketing programs.
Yeah, and you know the other aspect of it is they've been around for a long time. Could be just an attempt to retire or something along those lines too. Haven't followed up too much on
primaries. Not a major player. And we should mention, by the way, Kadeco is a 75-year-old manufacturer of board games. Right, so the company's been around for a while.
Right.
The big game is I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Triopoly.
Tripoli? I think it's Tripoli. Tripoli. I think it's Tripoli.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on. In other news, Mayfair has purchased Calliope Games. They announced this at Gamma. We did miss that. Actually, I don't know if they made an official announcement. They made an unofficial announcement at Gamma. So they bought Calliope Games, and you heard it here first. They're going to start a new division called Funfair.
I heard a little bit about this.
You didn't hear it here first.
Well, I didn't hear it here first, but that's because I know some people.
No, they've been talking about it for a while, and I think they're going to transfer LaBoom over to Funfair.
Yeah, There's a few other odds and ends, I think.
And I think some, yeah, and I think Funfair, in fact, I think the gallery edition of Settlers is going to go to Funfair. And the idea is these are going to be more mass market, more accessible things that they can market under the Funfair brand. Brett?
It's exactly what I've heard. I didn't have any further announcements to make on it.
Didn't have a comment?
I didn't have a comment.
Well, for God's sake, let's move on. That never happens.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm teasing. You faded out a little bit on the...
I'll come back with one if you really like.
No, that's fine. Because we have to move on to our Tempest in a Teacup department.
Yeah.
Actually, most of our news is Tempest in a Teacup. But having covered the controversy over American Indians being upset about the King Philip's War game, Scrabble announced that you were going to be allowed to use proper nouns in an effort to appeal to the youth of today. You were going to be able to use proper nouns in a version of Scrabble. There was an immediate web storm over this. Oh my God, you can use proper nouns in Scrabble. And then it was revealed that the new rule will only be in a new version of the game called Scrabble Trickster, which will only be available in Europe. And it has no intention of releasing that version of the game in the United States.
Yeah.
Unless it sells well.
I was going to say, there's nothing that prevents them from doing this at any point. It will certainly make all the Scrabble buffs a little crazy. I could actually probably play this given the way people write names nowadays. I don't think there's any miscapable spellings of any random assortment of letters.
That's true, actually. The thing that I was, I just wanted to say that, they're diluting the franchises left and right. I'm still upset about Sorry Sliders. I thought it really weakened the Sorry. The Sorry brand name, and I think this is just doing the same thing with Scrabble. You're just dragging it through the toilet.
Yeah, what do you, this one's really interesting, but given it's a European edition, I wonder if maybe there's, reasons that we don't understand that would expand that somewhat. I was always bothered that you couldn't use place names, at least.
I just want to know if in the European version, do you have to have an accent aigu over the E to use it in the French version or not?
I'm sure there's umlauts and everything else, depending on what edition you've gotten.
Yeah, that could be true. But again, Tempest in a Teacup department. And by the way, I'm glad to see the Scrabble community really, really kind of hanging together. It was neat to see. I mean, I kind of ignore Scrabble because I can't play word games with my wife. Because I beat her once playing Bally from Avalon Hill on the last turn by spelling Byzantine, which she thought was a proper name, and I explained was also an adjective, and ever since then cannot play word games. So I haven't played Scrabble in 20 years.
That's a good thing. As I said, I don't play Scrabble because my spelling is
renowned. I've read your emails. Yeah, yeah. Well, your spelling isn't so bad so much as that it's an epic fail.
There we go.
It's amazing. I get emails from you where you misspell a word into another word and it completely changes the meaning of the sentence.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's a gift.
It is. I'm heartily impressed. But anyways, moving on, we got two more stories here. One, Richard Gottlieb on his blog. Richard was on the show recently. Richard said there's been some speculation about ta-da. Toys R Us,
our fan, our
That's
favorite.
Right. That's right. Here, pause for the theme music.
Toys R Us, new news.
Okay, I think that's long enough. Toys R Us, there's some speculation that they're going to go public this year. The stock market is either soaring or magically levitating, depending on who you ask. This is one that we've been reporting on for a while. They've reshuffled all their debt, so it's not due until 2014 or 2019. So if you're... And, the private equity company that bought them has owned them for about 5 years. So now is about the time for them to cash out, right? That's what private equity companies do. So there's some speculation on it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to buy any stock.
I won't be buying any either, but, I do think that Toys R Us is, ripe for the market. I think this will be a good investment for a number of people. The real question here is... as you said, they've moved their debt all around. We talked about this a lot last year on how they're repositioning themselves in the market. My real question for the long-term, survivability of Toys R Us is, what do the other big boxes look like? How healthy are their game departments, et cetera, et cetera? Because Toys R Us really has to, has been making changes because for them, games and toys have become less and less important.
Right. And so I don't think it's going to impact our market at all. I do think that in terms of the toy market, I think there might be some shades of basically Toys R Us having to figure out where they're going. Because they, for a long time, right, what's Toys R Us's biggest seller? We've talked about this. Diapers, right?
Diapers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are they Toys R Us? Are they something else? Are they, Toys R Us or Kids R Us? They've been broadening their focus for a long time. I think that this isn't going to have any impact on the retail strategy. Target is moving more into games. I think Walmart might. I don't know that they expanded the number of discounted games last Christmas, but Target is actively expanding their game and toy section.
Yeah, and Sears, entered into the market, and as we reported earlier this year. They're up to 100 or 200 stores this Christmas will be.
Correct.
Getting into that line.
Exactly.
So that's another major competitor. But then again, I think we talked about it was cosmetics, I believe, that was Toys R Us's new, area.
Yes.
So, okay.
If your big market is
Toys
moms,
R Us, yeah. Cosmetics, just doesn't seem right.
That's right. You can buy slime for the kids and goo for you.
Well, and I have these visions of, 4-year-old girls, with makeup literally all over themselves.
I forget you don't have girls. Yeah,
I don't have girls. But.
Yeah, that's going to happen whether Toys R Us is involved or not. So moving on, BoardGames.com is for sale. The asking price for the domain is currently about $250,000. And been talking with some of the guys over at Purple Pawn on this one. I think the day of the big one-word category killer domain name is gone, right? Sex.com last sold for $11 million. It's back on the market for less than six. I don't think it matters if your domain name is BoardGames.com or, MyBoardGameStore.com.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and, there's some major limitations on what the name gives you. If you're spending that much money, you're going to be spending a whole heck of a lot more just to get your, the fact that you did spend that much money out there.
That's right.
There's advertising and promotions. And
exactly. If you spend the $250 for the domain name, you're now committed to $50 to $100 in marketing, advertising, and maybe a little, and maybe not even including your inventory build out. It's a big chunk of change for the market, and people don't blindly type domain names into their browser anymore. They'll go to Google, they'll go to Yahoo, or they'll go to Amazon.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, so many people nowadays, with the search engines being what they are, hits to me are certainly more important than names. People aren't just looking for domain names. They're out there looking, doing searches, and they're looking for what people, it's important.
That said, the rumor is that it does get a ton of traffic, quote unquote. I don't have this substantiated. Quote, more hits than BoardGameGeek.com, right? Because I think they're affiliated with Yahoo. Okay, but if their domain is worth so much, why are they selling?
Well, again, there's a number of reasons why people sell. So I'm not too worried about why someone chooses to sell. The question at hand really.
That's the lawyer from Upper Deck.
I was going to say Upper Deck. Upper Deck wants to give us a call.
But anyways, yeah, like I said, we'll see how that goes. I think it's I think that the online retail market is not one that necessarily lends itself to buying BoardGames.com for $250,000.
No, it may to somebody.
I could buy a domain name for $6 from GoDaddy and spend $249,994 marketing it and get just as much traffic.
Well, there you go. But on the other hand, it may prove to be somebody else's, baby, in the sense of, if Hasbro were to pick it up and do a direct link straight back to Hasbro, maybe it's a value to them.
That is not a bad idea. On the other hand, like I said, you've got to have a lot of bread to make it happen in the first place. And I think $250K on a board game retail website, I think that you're looking at an ROI, a return on investment, that is, it's too far out, right? You're not, most businesses, when you spend a boatload of cash, you want a 2, maybe a 4-year return on investment. At $250,000 just for the domain name, I think you're looking at the outside 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. Personally, I won't be, you know, purchasing the name. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I wrote a check out of petty cash. I'm going to buy it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm lucky that way. Hey, anyways, that is our last news story for the week. Let's talk sponsors. Want to thank the Purple Pawn for hosting our podcast and being one of our sponsors. We get a lot of news from them. And I'd also like to say we are not going to do any commentary or an interview this week. We're trying to keep things a little short. We did a really long show last week, right? Did we not?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay. 2 weeks ago.
That's right. That's right. So, Rhett, why don't we tell you, why don't you tell them, Rhett, why don't you just talk? I'll stop.
I was going to say, reader mail. Well, this week, since we have no commentary, we're not really covering anything on our reader mail.
Although I did get a very nice personal email from Ms. Amy Conroy, who was excited that we put in some fast-paced music at the end of the show.
There we go. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that she responded to that.
Yes.
But we would love to hear your comments and feedback. Love to hear any questions that you might have as well. You can reach us at our website, which would be at thepurplepawn.com, paper money. Or you can email us at papermoney@purplepawn.com. Or you can Skype us at Skype Paper Money Podcast.
No, it's just Paper Money Podcast.
Oh, just Paper Money Podcast. You know,
that's some right. They could call the Skype line at what number, Rhett?
Well, that's 773-634-9377. Someday I'm going to have to come up with a jingle or a word for that.
Exactly. You should work on that.
Yeah.
if it gets slow at the store. One of the things I want to mention to our regular listeners, in particular those of you getting the show from iTunes or the Imagine Graphics website, the Imagine Graphics website is going to be moved soon, and we're transferring the podcast feed over to the Purple Pawn. Now, what that's going to mean is iTunes might not have the back episodes other than the last 4 or 5. Because it's going to switch over to the new feed from the Purple Pawn, and that's supposed to happen this week. So if you're getting the site from Imagine Graphics' website or iTunes, hang tight. Imagine Graphics, listeners, go over to purplepawn.com/papermoney. If you're getting the show from iTunes, it should all be auto magic behind the scenes. But again, that's coming up. Starting with this show, we've actually inserted in our RSS feed, there's a new code that tells iTunes, hey, we've got a new location for the feed. So a little bit of house cleaning there, but I wanted to get that out to everybody. Wow, and you're silent again. That's so awesome. I should talk.
It's amazing, huh? You should talk. I love tech stuff.
I should move from game geek to tech geek like all the time.
You know, yeah, because as most people who know me, they do realize I am a Luddite. So,
we'll call you a neo-Luddite. How's that?
A neo-Luddite. I am really a neo-Luddite, but I'm pretty good with, you know, we find those old mechanical weavers and we just smash them now. Why wait any longer?
I think that should be a LARP at Gen Con. You should get a group of people, give them all baseball bats, and send them out into the Indianapolis manufacturing community.
That would go over so well. I believe that does constitute something about forming a riot and the like.
Have it coincide with the zombie walk.
There we have it.
Anyways,
we were going to hit the zombies and missed.
That's right. Now, not much coming up in terms of industry stuff for the next couple months. We don't have any big shows or anything like that. Rhett?
No, not for about a month or so.
No.
More.
You fade it out again. We'll have to edit all this out. Not much coming up on our industry radar for the next several weeks. However, Rhett has a special announcement about next week's show.
Oh, yeah. Well, our next week's show, which will be April 29th, we hope to have a special mystery guest from a company whose initials are CGL. I'll let you work that one out on your
own. Hint. Yes, yes. So currently in top-level negotiations to make that happen.
Oh, I like top level negotiations.
And exactly, me too. And you know what I like even more, Rhett? A podcast that we've where we've actually come in under 30 minutes.
Under 30 minutes.
Yes.
And just to make sure that really works out, that's all for this show. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. Awesome. It's like 25 minutes and 26 seconds.
Woot.